Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Live here at Yankee Stadium. What a beautiful day for a ball game and a perfect setting to do a show. I mean, this is just glorious out here at Yankee Stadium, coming off an impressive win last night. And yesterday we gave you the bad side of things where, you know, ultimately the Yankees just don't look that good. We gave you the record since June 1st, 18th, best record in baseball, and, you know, a game under 500, obviously, with the win. Yesterday they'd be a 500 team since June 1st, and that's a large enough sample size. But here's the good news. The good news is you don't have to be a good team anymore to win the World Series. It's been proven that you don't have to be a good team or a great team to get to a World Series. We keep referencing the Phillies a couple years ago or the Diamondbacks a year ago. I'm not saying they're bad teams, but if you get in the postseason and you get hot at the right time, anything could happen. And while we know that the Yankees have flaws, everybody that's watched this team, especially if you hold them to the standards, you know, the dynasty Yankees or the last time the Yankees went to a World Series in 2009, they're not that type of team. But neither is anybody else. And if you get hot at the right time, you don't have to be a good team. It doesn't matter. You know, it might not matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It might not matter that the Yankees bullpen isn't on par with a top-end bullpen. It might not matter that Alex Verdugo can't hit in the clutch or can't hit anymore, period. And by the way, who knows if Dominguez comes up and Verdugo's not going to be there. I'm just using him as an example. It might not matter that Volpe is inconsistent. It might not matter that Gleyber Torres does things that drives you nuts. It might not matter that DJ LeMahieu is still on the roster, although that actually might matter. Let me retract that. It might matter if LeMahieu is on the roster. Get him off the roster before we get in the postseason. But the big point is, just because I know myself, I do it, hold teams to the highest of standards, especially when we're talking about the Yankees and talking about being a World Series team, you expect more. We know as sports fans, Yankee fans know, watching their team, what level of play they need to see to really truly believe that they could be a World Series, a legitimate World Series contender. However, all those thoughts, everything that we've known throughout our lives watching this sport, it's all changed now. The way the sport has evolved and the extra postseason, it is a roll of the dice. I hate to think that it's that. I hate to believe that watching this team, knowing in my heart of hearts that they're not a World Series team, but still, I didn't think the Diamondbacks were last year. I mean, go back to the Diamondbacks last year and watch them play the Mets in the regular season. The Mets, who were awful last year, beat up on the Diamondbacks. Nobody in their right mind would have said, oh, the Diamondbacks going to the World Series. But yet it happened. Because all that you need in today's Major League Baseball is to go on a heater at the right time. And the Yankees, of course, have the potential to do that. I'm not getting caught up in their record. I don't want to do that or even look at the other teams and say, well, Baltimore doesn't do this or Cleveland doesn't do that or, you know, the Astros, they're weak in this area. I'm not going to do all of that. But look at what the Yankees do have, and I think that there is a difference when we talk about the Mets. Well, okay, well, if the Mets get in the postseason, could they go on a run? I mean, they could, but it's less likely because they don't have the top-end guys, at least not in the lineup or atop that rotation, that the Yankees do that you would think could be difference makers in the postseason. I know it's not just about the stars, but when you're starting with Soto and Judge and Gerrit Cole, who will be on the mound today, can't wait to watch Gerrit Cole in person. He's been turning it around as of late, looking like the true ace. When you start with Gerrit Cole, and Soto and Judge, you're already above everybody else. Yesterday we talked about how the Yankees should be head and shoulders above everybody going into the postseason. Hey, this is a year where everything's wide open. Why are we saying, well, the Yankees have as good a chance as anybody else? They're just one of the teams that can compete. But you've seen it in flashes, whether it's last night. And don't get me wrong, I'm not overreacting to one dominant performance last night. This is what the Yankees do. We've seen them before. Soto gets things started. Judge with another couple of home runs. We'll do more on those guys as the show goes on here. But, you know, that's a typical Yankee performance. And then, you know, you see them fall off a little bit. They've been literally a 500 team since June 1st. So that's what happens. Win some, lose some. But when you have those guys in your lineup, and when you have Gerrit Cole on the mound for game one of the postseason, you're already ahead of the curve. Could they have done more? Yeah, I mean, they could have, whether it's in the offseason, cleaning things up, addition by subtraction, or just bringing in guys, Corbin Burns or Spencer Jones, Josh Hader, whatever it may have been. They could have gotten to another level. Could they have done more at the trade deadline? Yes, they could have done more, and should have. They should have done more in the offseason, and they should have done more at the trade deadline. So it was less of a roll of the dice. The odds would have been more in their favor had the Yankees done more at the deadline or even in the offseason. And they didn't. But they still have Judge, Soto, and Cole, and you don't need to be that good. Maybe it's a sad state for the sport. I don't like it, but the reality is, it's proved, and it's been proved before. It's proven with the Diamondbacks, with the Phillies. You don't need to be. I mean, it even goes way back too. We've seen teams that just get into the postseason once the wild card was invented. You know, they back into the postseason or struggle. Even the Yankees in 2000 weren't really that good in the end of the regular season, struggling, and they get in the postseason and they go on a run. So it's been proven for a while, but even more so now with the additional wild card added. With the way the postseason series go, you know, we've seen the Dodgers win 108 games or 110 games, whatever, they win over 100 games, and then they go out in the first round. We've seen the Braves dominate a division year in, year out, year in, year out, and then they falter in the postseason. So the sad reality, although in this case good if you're a Yankee fan, the sad reality is you don't have to be good anymore to win a World Series. And that's why you should have hope and be excited. We can acknowledge the flaws, and we watch this team on a day-in, day-out basis, and we know that they're there. Are you still concerned about the Yankees with runners in scoring position? How could you not be? There's not making stuff up. We're seeing it. Are you concerned about the bullpen? Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to be concerned about the bullpen, not just Clay Holmes as the closer, but you look at the bullpen overall, and you have to be concerned about it because you don't feel great about any of those arms that come into the game. Okay, well, this guy's got it on lock, or these two guys, you get it to 8-9 or 7th and 8th inning, we know we got it on lock. It's not like that. Any given night, you could have somebody have a big performance, whoever it may be, Cousins or obviously Holmes, terrific. You know, you get that Canley one night, Mark Leiter one night, but you don't have that true confidence that set, whether it's the set lineup, the set usage in the bullpen, specific innings that you want to use those guys, or even the rotation right now, especially with Heel out, you know, you don't know what it's going to be like behind Gerrit Cole after he starts game one. But you don't need to be great anymore. You don't need to be that good anymore to win a World Series. I mean, it opens things up. Maybe that's what the sport wanted by all the parity in the league. So do we need to change the way we evaluate, you know, me, myself, the way I evaluate baseball teams? Do I need to change that and just be like, okay, there are red flags all over the place. They're not that good. But, you know, they can win a World Series. And ultimately, that's the goal. Now, the problem that you have is the Yankees left themselves open, more so open, by not going the extra mile in the offseason at the trade deadline, really shoring up their roster beyond Cole, Judge, Soto. They could have done more. And again, I know they'll get Jazz back, and that'll certainly help their lineup. You hope to get Heel back healthy, whatever it may be, some arms in the bullpen healthy. But I'm talking about more than that. They could have done more. And even not just this year, in recent years. Because remember, this is not just about the Yankees failing this year or not being enough this year at the moment. And they'll say, well, look at our wins, as good as anybody in baseball, top of the division. Yeah, sure, but we know the reality watching this team. But this has been something that's been going on for years, where the Yankees have not been able to get to or win a World Series for years. And in 2017, they were supposed to build on that and get the team to another level. And since then, they've basically regressed. Certainly have regressed since 2019. but never been back to that Game 7 of the ALCS that they were in 2017, where they kind of came out of nowhere and were building this thing up. And over those years, they've made some wrong moves, whether it was bringing in Giancarlo Stanton in lieu of pursuing Machado or Harper. You don't know how those guys would have worked out, but you knew that Stanton was redundant. And I don't care what anybody says, he, as good as a Yankee, as good as a guy he's been in embracing New York and taking accountability, he's been a major disappointment. Giancarlo Stanton was an MVP when the Yankees got him. Guy's hitting almost 60 home runs, and he hasn't been anywhere close to that with the Yankees, especially when you look at his entire Yankee career. Maybe a good season here or there, a good run in the postseason here or there. He has not been a great move. Whether it's Josh Donaldson, whether it's IKF, whether it's, you know, not going after one of the top shortstops, whether it's moving Gleyber Torres to short, and on, Gallo and Hicks, Pineda, Sonny Gray, all these different moves that the Yankees have made, you know, over the years, trying to get the, you know, James Paxton, trying to Frankie Montas. All these moves the Yankees have made have led them to a spot where the pressure is on to get to and win a World Series. And they kind of just sit back and say, all right, I shouldn't say they sit back, but they go almost all the way. They give you enough and as much as maybe anybody else, but they don't go over the top, which is what the Yankees used to do to really solidify their chances of getting to and winning a World Series. And that's where they leave themselves open for criticism if, in fact, they don't get to the World Series or win a World Series. But the good news is, maybe to their, and not to their credit, because you should never credit them for not going all the way in. The good news is, you don't have to be that, you don't have to be that good anymore. You don't have to be a great team. You could be okay. Just get in the postseason, right? We've heard that before. Just get in and anything could happen. Just get in and it's sad, but it's the reality. Get in and anything could happen. And when you see this team playing at their best, and again, it may just be two guys in that lineup. It may just be Gerrit Cole. We'll see what he can do to go out there today. You know, this is an important series just for a measuring stick. And the Yankees lose that first game, gut-wrenching loss, heartbreaking fashion, 12 innings to Cleveland, a very good Cleveland team who showed that they have a legitimate bullpen, good staff there, you know, solid staff overall. And the Yankees, you know, sloppy play. It's discouraging when you see that. But then you see last night, Judge Soto go nuts. Cortez was good. And then you feel good about this team. And now today, with a chance to win the series, take two of three from Cleveland yet again, you have Gerrit Cole on the mound. And you got to like the Yankees' chances with that. So it just shows you that even though we know by watching this team, the mistakes that they've made, the lack of accountability, the lack of acknowledgement with the inconsistencies or guys underperforming the expectations with Anthony Volpe, with all those different things, the injuries to Rizzo, LeMahieu still playing and being run out there and put in the lineup way more than we want to see him, Verdugo falling off a cliff and being one of the worst offensive players in the sport. I mean, that's what he's been, one of the worst offensive players in the sport. Even with all of that, you don't have to be great to win a World Series in today's day and age. And that's what the Yankees are. All right, BT and Sal here live at Yankee Stadium doing the show, of course. I'm doing it solo because BT's doing the game, and he just walked in the booth. You know, I got to tell you, the one disappointing thing about doing this show from the stadium, which is a great thrill and a great vantage point in the history and all that, I wanted to see Susan. I see BT all the time. I wanted to see Susan. We'll talk to BT before he goes on for a few minutes. He's got a lot of prep work to do and all that stuff, so we'll have some fun with him. And I did listen last night from, I'd say, the end of the pregame show for the first few innings. I got to be honest, I thought you were great, BT. I really did think you did a good. I'm not just kissing your rear end. You know I wouldn't do that. If anything, I'd like to needle you a little bit. I thought you and Shackle sounded great. You did the play. You're a pro. I mean, I thought you'd be good, and I thought you were very good with the parts that I heard. I didn't hear, like I said, I didn't hear the whole thing, but driving home, heard the end of the post game, heard the beginning of the game. I could feel your excitement. I thought you were very good. All right, we'll take some calls here before we get take a little break and get more into the Yankees and dive into the different layers. I'll get to the Mets as well. Remember, short show. Obviously, we handed over to the Yankee pregame coming up at 12:25, but out here at the stadium having some fun. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jerry is in the Bronx. What's up, Jerry?
Sal!
Jerry!
It's been a long time. I strayed a little bit. Sal, I apologize.
For what?
That I haven't spoken to you and BT.
That's all right.
I want to I want to congratulate BT. He sounded awesome, and that was a great opportunity for him.
Yes, it is a great opportunity, and I really do think he did a terrific job from what I heard last night.
Awesome job. Now, let me tell you something, I agree with most of what you said. Anything can happen when you're in the playoffs, but when you have the same cast of characters and you don't make improvements, not only in free agency, but you make trades that make absolutely no sense. But let me tell you something else. I'm happy for Jazz Chisholm, okay? But how do you vat the guy six? How do you justify putting Verdugo?
Well, they're gonna have to change those things, Jerry. And thank you for the call, as always. No, we appreciate checking in. Sorry, Jerry, I got to do it remote today because I'm at the stadium, so I don't have the control. So I figured we'd just make it nice and easy, cutting you off. And, of course, it wasn't nice and easy. But either way, they're going to have to make some changes here. Verdugo cannot be the leadoff hitter. When Jazz comes back, assuming he can get back healthy, maybe he'll be the leadoff hitter. Maybe they go back with Volpe if Volpe gets on a heater. It can't be Verdugo. He's absolutely killing them. Verdugo's been one of the worst offensive players in the sport for an extended period. Same thing with LeMahieu. Like, they're not just going to keep running him out there. At some point, the Yankees will fix things, but they're not showing a sense of urgency, and maybe they don't have to. I mean, we're still August here. You know, you still got a month of the season plus to go, and what really matters is if you're playing your best baseball in October. I hate that. I hate that that's the conversation because I think it minimizes the importance of the regular season. When you play 162 games, that's got to mean something, and it used to mean everything. You know, when I was growing up, and even before that, obviously, it was even fewer, but when I was growing up, it was two teams in the postseason. That's it. You win your division, and you're in. AL East, AL West, NL East, NL West. The winners face each other. Winners of that go to the World Series. And that meant everything, because if you didn't play well in the regular season, you weren't going to the postseason. And then, obviously, expansion and adding more teams and the different divisions and the wild card and now the extra wild cards. So it does, whether I want to admit it, whether we like it or not, the sport that we knew is totally different. It does change the game. And it does minimize the importance of the regular season. I don't even know if teams value winning the division anymore. Like, we haven't, think about it, we do talk shows every day on The Fan, right? You guys call up all the time. It is far and few between the calls that we've had on the importance of winning the division. Now, I'm not saying nobody's thought about that or talked about that, but we've always just talked about, well, can this team get through in the postseason? Not about, oh, they have to win the division to get a bye. It's almost like that doesn't even matter. And some people, baseball people will tell you, I've talked to Terry Collins a lot about this, that the layoff in 2015 after they swept the Cubs hurt them a little bit. But what are you supposed to do? Not sweep the team? What are you supposed to do? Not win the division? You want to win the division and get a bye and get everything set up, but there could be a negative with that. As we see, you know, maybe the Dodgers winning a division could hurt them a little bit, that layoff. You kind of stop the momentum yet. Look, I don't have the answers. I don't think it's an exact science where it's definitively one way or another. But even the importance of winning the division, it just feels like it doesn't matter. And look at the wild card teams that are getting in the World Series. You had two wild card teams last year. We referenced the Phillies a couple years ago. So what? I mean, the Phillies 2 years ago were an afterthought. Nobody thought about them. We were talking about the NL East being over. Mets and Braves. Braves come back. They catch the Mets. Mets and Braves all year long. Braves finally beat them to win the division. But those two teams finished, I think, 14 games or so ahead of the Phillies. And yet the Phillies were the last team standing as they go to the World Series. So what does that tell you? The regular season has been minimized, which also should then tell us that, you know, even though the Yankees are a flawed team, and while I still don't believe, as we said yesterday, it's a great answer to just say, well, everybody else is flawed too. That's not good enough for me, as I would hold the team, especially the Yankees, to a higher standard. But the reality is, even with their flaws, you don't need to be great anymore, especially this year. We're on pace for the first season without a 100-game winner. First season since 2014, talking about 10 years, without a team that has won 100 games. That means that you don't have to be great this year to win the World Series. You have to be a little bit lucky, and you have to be timely. Obviously, you know, the Yankees have some pieces here that you could say, well, okay, well, they could get in. Is it as much as we'd like? No, but, hey, you don't have to be great anymore. So it's basically just get into the postseason, and then we'll really start to evaluate them come October. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT, of course, not with us today because he's doing a Yankee game, filling in for Susan. One more game he'll be on with Shackle coming up at 12:25. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
Talk New York.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call live at Yankee Stadium. BT getting ready to do the game, filling in for Susan today, so I'm doing this solo until 12:25. I got to tell you, and I hesitate to say this as somebody who grew up as a Mets fan and grew up hating the Yankees. In my older age, I don't know if it's just me getting softer or me being more nostalgic, I love coming to Yankee Stadium. And I know that it's a little bit easier coming from Jersey or from the city to get here than it is to go to Citi Field, which could be a little bit of a pain in the neck from where I am. And don't get me wrong, I love Citi Field still, but I miss Shea. And I do miss the old Yankee Stadium, but there's something about even just seeing the pictures of Ruth or the statue of George or the pictures of the Core Four with Jeter, Posada, Pettit, Bernie, you've seen all these guys, you know, all the pictures of everybody. There's something about it. And maybe it's just my love for baseball in general, seeing the beautiful grass on a beautiful sunny day. I mean, the weather is perfect. It's not too hot. And maybe going to be a heat wave next week, but you're starting to get that fall weather this week and feels like postseason. Man, this is just, I love baseball. I think I love baseball more than anything, but I never really properly appreciated the old Yankee Stadium because I grew up hating them. My first game there was a Subway Series in 97, watching Malecki shut down the Yankees. You know, many battles after that, whether it's the 2000 World Series or just the Subway Series in between. But it was always, it felt like coming into enemy territory, and this is different for me now. And I just, man, I wish I had a different appreciation. Well, I'm not rooting for the Yankees, but still a different appreciation for the old place and the history and, you know, just the players at the time, as opposed to the disdain that I had for them. And it's just really a special, special place, especially hanging out here in the booth, you know, John Sterling stuff all over the place, and there is just tremendous history that no matter what, I don't care what you do to your franchise or who's throwing out the first pitch or how many World Series you win moving forward, you can never, the Yankees are the Yankees. That's what makes them so special, and you really do feel it when you come to the building. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
How are you, Jeff?
Good. What do you think about that lineup, man? I mean, you got Wells starting back-to-back days. I mean, yesterday was a lefty. They put Wells, they put Rice. That's the way they should go. They should stop this nonsense of trying to put in, like, all these guys, LeMahieu, I mean, putting all these guys in.
Well,
yesterday was a left-hander, and we still won.
Yeah, we said yesterday, Jeff, and thank you for the call, that for me, I don't want to see DJ LeMahieu anymore. I mean, we've been talking about that for months, and I'd much rather see Oswaldo in the lineup. I'd much rather see Ben Rice in the lineup, and I think at some point the Yankees are going to figure out that that's going to be the best way. Even without Jazz, you still don't need LeMahieu in there as much. I wouldn't even have him on the team at this point. Here's what I think about the lineup. When you have Judge and Soto on the lineup doing the damage that they do, it shouldn't be that hard to piece around it. If Gleyber Torres gets a couple of bloop hits or draws a walk in front of those guys, it's impossible to pitch to Judge and Soto. They're going to do damage more often than not. On that topic, Can you believe, and we've talked about this now quite a bit, acknowledging the greatness of those two, but even specifically Aaron Judge. Can you believe that this guy continues to get better on an already historic season and career? Think about it. You always expect, well, he's, you know, he is human. There's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. He might not be human. I mean, I don't understand, A, why teams continue to pitch to him. Even if you have to, I don't care. I would just walk him every single time. But, B, how, if you do pitch to him, he's going to make you pay. It's unbelievable. His numbers are better than the record-breaking year a couple of years ago. How is that possible? On pace for 60 home runs, I think, which is unbelievable. The average way up, the OPS way up. What Aaron Judge is doing is just not normal. Oh, even a couple of years ago, oh, Otani, get the hell out of here, Otani. Nobody compares to what Aaron Judge is doing. Nobody. I said this early on. And think about his numbers where they're at now with an awful April. He couldn't even get a hit in April. Well, like, oh, is he hurt? What's going on? This could be bad here, the beginning of the end for Aaron Judge. I mean, something had to be off because generally Judge does not underperform when healthy. And he was said to be healthy, and it was like, well, why is he underperforming? And then he's taken off to a ridiculous level to get his numbers back up to, he's going to be in contention for the, or is in contention for the Triple Crown, is obviously going to win an MVP, and he's going to be better than his record-breaking year a couple years ago. May not hit 62 or more, but it's still going to be a better season. It's unbelievable what he's doing. Now, the key is, and I don't know how you can help but think, if you're watching that game last night, I know I was thinking it, I don't know how you can help but think about what this is going to be like in the postseason. Judge and Soto, that combination. How the hell are teams going to pitch these guys in the postseason? The answer's got to be, well, you can't. You have to let somebody else beat you. And, you know, that's not, you know, for me, I'm not letting those guys, Soto and Judge, beat me. But putting those guys on in the postseason also could be dangerous. All you need then is one of the other guys to either get on before them or drive them in behind them, and you're going to win a lot of games. It's remarkable that those two, playing as often as they have, Soto and Judge, at the level that they've played all year long, that the Yankees aren't better than what they are. That's crazy to me. Hey, the record is what it is. From June 1st till now, talking about almost 3 months, they've been a 500 team. That's nowhere near good enough when you talk about the production you're getting from Judge and Soto. But they don't need to be great for 3 months. They need to be great for a few weeks in October. As a team, I'm talking about. Those guys have been great all year. 888-808-1019. Kyle is in E-Town. What's up, Kyle?
We are no longer in Eatontown. We are about 30 minutes from the Bronx, Sal.
There you go. Headed here.
Yeah, me and my 7-year-old son, man, we're jacked up. He just got me fired up with all that Yankees talk. It's pretty impressive coming from a Mets fan.
Yeah, I'm just being honest with you, man, how I feel. Again, I grew up a Mets fan. I grew up hating the Yankees. I don't anymore. I've evolved as an adult now. I'm mature to a certain extent. But this place is just special, and it just brings me back the smell of the ballpark, the view, the grass, the dirt, the history. And I hate the idea that it's a new stadium, but it is what it is. But the history with this organization, how can you not think it's special?
Yeah, I can't wait to get up there. It's my son's second trip up there, so we're excited. But just back to your point, you know, it's a long year, right? I'm not trying to bad mouth guys like Volpe and Verdugo. If you look at them during the first 2 months of the season, you know, while Judge was kind of non-existent, those guys were carrying the team. So they were a big part of why we had so many wins before the All-Star break. It's a hard game, right? But, you know, I think this team specifically, they got what it takes offensively to really make a run here in the postseason. I'm really hoping Cole puts together a good start today. You know, he threw well last time out. He's going to also be a big part of what, you know, we need to move forward. So, you know, it's exciting times. Judge and Soto, it's crazy right now. What they're doing is absolutely insane.
Well,
insane.
Let me ask you, though, real quick, Kyle, before we let you go. We do appreciate the call. When
yes, sir.
Say they have what it takes to succeed in the postseason, what do you mean by that?
I think they have professional hitters. You know, I know Gleyber has his struggles, but he's going to put up a productive AB. I think Volpe's coming along nicely. You put pressure on these pitchers in the postseason, you know, walking Judge, walking Soto. Those guys just got to come up with a few big hits. Keep playing Wells. I like him. I think he's going to be a big piece coming, you know, for the next couple of years. Let him get his experience, you know, and see what we got. We got to shut it down at the end of the game. Got to figure out who's going to close these games out.
Well, and that's why I asked that question, and thank you for the call, Kyle, and enjoy your day here, your travel getting here. Hopefully you have a nice day at the ballpark and see Gerrit Cole go out there and spin a gem. Here's the thing. I don't know if I could sit here and say comfortably, well, the Yankees have what it takes to succeed in the postseason, because I would think that in the postseason you need a lockdown closer and legitimate bullpen, some weapons in that bullpen, a top-end starter, and a lineup that is going to put the ball in play. That's what I think. But what I think is different from what's actually happened here in recent years in Major League Baseball. The sport has changed. So I don't know if there is an answer. Even today we say the same thing about, well, you want to have guys that put the bat on the ball and guys that can steal a base and situational hitting and moving runners over and getting runners in and good defense and good bullpen. Yeah, I mean, it sounds great, but the Braves slugged their way to a World Series a few years ago. We've seen other teams do it with less than pitching. Like, even look at the bullpens that you've seen been pieced together, whether it's the Nationals in 2019. You know, it didn't have a great bullpen, but they still were able to win a World Series. You know, other teams with non-dominant starters get to the World Series. Even back to 2015, Royals didn't have a great starting rotation, but they won a World Series. So I don't think there is one clear-cut answer anymore to what is successful in the postseason. For me, what I would value, the Yankees don't have that. They have Cole, which is a starting point. You want, like, I want a number one starter. All right, check. So they have that. Do they have the closer? No, they don't have that in my mind. I've never trusted Clay Holmes. I think he could be fine, but I just don't trust him. And even in addition to Holmes, the rest of the guys aren't lights out dominant where, okay, you don't have to have Holmes against their best guys, but then who is that guy? Holmes is their best reliever. Whether you like it or not, he's their best reliever. So for me, that's not good enough. And then the lineup. Yeah, they have two all-world, big-time, future Hall of Fame superstars. But is that what plays in the postseason? Or should there be more balance? Ultimately, Judge and Soto are going to continue to do what they do, and I'm assuming it's going to translate into the postseason, right? That's what I was saying before. Like, how can you not project forward what this is going to look like in the postseason with Soto and Judge? Can Judge keep this going? We know Soto's been postseason proven. Judge is not. Can he keep this going? And if so, hard to imagine how that couldn't be enough, because generally you feel like postseason games are tighter. But I think ultimately it's still going to come down to who's on in front of those guys and are the guys behind them going to be able to do enough. You're right about April, where it was Verdugo and it was Volpe making up for no Aaron Judge. But now, even with Judge going nuts since then to a ridiculous level, the Yankees have stole a 500 team since June 1st. Something doesn't add up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. You'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. We have the starting lineup as well for the Yanks. Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Gleyber Torres, you have leading off yet again. Still, I don't know if I love that from the Yanks. I know they're doing it now, and it's certainly better than Verdugo there, but ultimately I think it's got to be Jazz or Volpe. And again, I can't argue for Volpe right now, but ultimately I think their best lineup going into the postseason I'd rather have Jazz there. But anyway, Torres leading off. Soto, of course, two-hole. Judge hitting third. Austin Wells behind him. That's been, to me, the big difference maker with the emergence of Austin Wells being an impact bat behind Judge and Soto in that Yankee lineup. Giancarlo Stanton follows Wells. He's hitting fifth, being playing DH. He'll be at DH. Verdugo is still back in there, but how do you do? Did we get one of those from BT last night? I'm not sure. We'll have to... Did not do it. No, okay. Gives me the thumbs down. You got Volpe behind Verdugo and Oswaldo. See, this is what I wanted to see. Yankees starting to figure it out. There is no DJ LeMahieu in the lineup. Oswaldo Cabrera is in there playing third base, and Ben Rice batting ninth playing first base. That is their best lineup right now. And enough of LeMahieu. Like, it's over. And with Jazz coming back, that's going to, you know, upgrade there at third base instead of Oswaldo. You know, potentially Dominguez coming up eventually could upgrade over Verdugo. That's really who's been killing him as well. Verdugo, just as we said before, statistically one of the worst players in the league. I'll live with Ben Rice at first base. I think he can give you a quality bat, especially if he's down in the order and you're not relying that much on him. But either way, there you have it, the Yankee lineup. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second. 888-808-1019. But I wanted to give some love to Nestor Cortez. You know that I've been telling you I like Cortez for a while, and last night is exactly why. Like, I get it that he could be very hittable and make hitters comfortable, and a lot of times, you know, you give up a bunch of runs or give up some homers, but he battles, he competes. Last night, against a team that is leading their division and going to the postseason against Cleveland, and a game where the Yankees needed it coming off that bad loss, 12 innings, using every arm in their bullpen, Nestor Cortez gave them exactly what they needed. Seven scoreless, shut them down, only three hits. That's what Nasty Nestor does. That's why I value him. Now, do I want him starting game one of the postseason? No, but I wouldn't have a problem with him starting game two at home of a postseason. I mean, you want to say game three or four, fine. I mean, he's got to be, to me, I would have him in the rotation. I trust him more than I do Carlos Rodon. Rodon's stuff is nasty, but I don't know if he's going to be on or have it. And when he's going south, generally he could implode. Cortez competes. He's a pitcher. He battles. I value that. I'm not moving him into the bullpen. I'm having Nestor Cortez take a start in the postseason. And I think last night helped go, you know, in his direction. Maybe helped go a long way with getting him a postseason start. Now, again, who knows? Still early to be talking about that stuff. But the fact that he could do that, they needed a stopper. They needed somebody to give them some length last night. And Cortez did that. That's why I love him. Guy's a pitcher. May not have great stuff. May make hitters too comfortable. But he's a pitcher. I value that, competing, especially with that Yankee lineup that maybe, you know, Cortez doesn't have to be lights out because they could give him some wiggle room or get out to a good start, give him a lead, and he'll go out there and protect it. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Frank is in Union Beach. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Sal, what's going on?
Not much, Frank.
Had a discussion with a couple of friends about what you were talking about earlier, that there's no great teams, that they're all flawed, and that all we got to do is get in, have a few couple of weeks, good weeks, and we can win this thing. Well, I'm a lifelong Yankee fan. It's all about the rings. It's not what I'm used to growing up, especially with the Jeter era and before that. You know, like, we win rings. That's what we're about. We're not about getting in and hoping.
Right.
And then just this offense, I'm glad you just discussed that. Hopefully maybe we can get Dominguez in here, Cabrera, a couple of guys to fill in for the holes in the lineup. We have seven holes in the lineup. We need to fill them in. If we don't, we got no shot. And then this will break.
I don't know
down
if I'd say there's seven. I don't know if I'd say there's seven. I think the emergence of Wells helps. And then with Jazz coming back, you know, that lessens the. And
right.
Even like you could live with Stanton to a certain degree. Verdugo, no.
Right.
And even Volpe. Like, Volpe's a guy who I really believe that Volpe can carry them through a postseason series. If he gets hot at the right time in October, that could
right.
be the difference of them winning a World Series or not.
I meant that right now we have seven holes. If we
yeah.
get Jazz back, if Volpe picks it up, if we can get, you know, Cabrera, you know, Dominguez, all that kind of stuff, we get those guys going, yeah, maybe. And then this all comes down to Cashman. Cashman was supposed to go all in, get Soto, fill in the roster. You said earlier, he never filled in the roster. He never put us to that level. When are we going to get rid of this guy? If we lose this year, we get rid of him?
I doubt that. And thank you for the call, Frank. We appreciate you checking in. See, I fundamentally agree with you that you know, you're saying the Yankees all about the rings. And it should be about that. They're held to a higher standard. But specifically where they're at now, like in 2017, you could accept, okay, they're rebuilding. And of course, in a rebuilding year, they go to Game 7 of the ALCS. But from there, it was always going to be about getting this team, the Baby Bombers, to a World Series and winning a World Series. This next generation of Yankee greats, and you know, maybe having the next Yankee dynasty. It doesn't even have to be a dynasty, but you have to win all World Series to at least get to one. So I understand that logic, and that's why I question the Yankees not going all in enough, whether it is in the offseason, whether it is in season, whether it's years before this, where they didn't go to the extent to be head and shoulders above everybody else going into a season or into a postseason, which doesn't guarantee you anything, but it makes you feel a little bit better about your chances of succeeding in the postseason. And they haven't been able to get back to a World Series, obviously, since 2009. They haven't gone over the top all in, whether it's Corbin Burns, whether it's Josh Hader, whether it's guys at the trade deadline this year. And that's, to me, a negative, where I'd feel better if the Yankees were more dominant. Like, okay, so what? There's no other team in baseball that's on pace for a 100-win season. But that doesn't mean the Yankees shouldn't be. I mean, if I were to tell you coming into the year, and I would think the majority of people felt that, Soto and Judge, if I were to say that they're going to play every single day, they're both going to be playing at an MVP level, Judge is going to be better than he was in his record-breaking year a couple years ago, wouldn't you think the Yankees are going to win 100 games? Wouldn't you think they'd be above 500 from, I don't know, June 1st on? But they're not. So just because everybody else isn't that good is not an excuse to justify why the Yankees didn't try to do more to be that much better. But with all that being the reality, they still could go out there and win a World Series, because in today's day and age, you don't have to be great to win a World Series. Steve is in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? You know, you keep kind of making my arguments for me, but you don't come to the same conclusion that I do. When people say the Yankees should have did more, they should have did more. Let's say they would have did everything that a Yankee fan would dream of. They got Hader, they got Corbin Burns, this, that, the other thing, and spent an extra $100 million doing this. What do you think their playoff chances go up by?
Significantly, you know? Though. Yeah, but I'm not looking...
A few percent?
I don't care about the percentages. Why are you getting caught up in the percent? Do you think they'd be a better team or not?
Well, no, that really matters.
Steve, how much did their percentages go up when they got Jazz Chisholm and Mark Leiter?
No, this is the thing. I try to be fair and put myself in the shoes of the owner. If Brian Cashman, everybody wants to fire Brian Cashman. If Brian Cashman was to come to me and say, okay, Hal, or Steve in this case, because I own Yankees, Steve, I could get you all these guys. It's going to cost us an extra $120 million a year, and our playoff chances will go from 14% to 17% of winning the World Series. And I'm going to tell him that he's crazy. I'm not doing that.
Right, but that's
and
how
that's
people
are. Yeah. And that's the playoffs today. That's the way the playoffs are set up.
Correct, but that's why I hate it. And thank you for the call, Steve. That's why I hate it. Because you're right. That's why the Mets will sit back there and say, well, you know, our odds are going to be this anyway, whatever the percentages of getting the postseason. So if we add Blackburn and Jesse Winker and, you know, Brazoban, instead of going to get the best reliever or Blake Snell, it's only, what, 2 percentage point different? Maybe not even. I don't know. So then they don't do it. Same thing with Cashman, as you could be saying. Right? Oh, why? Well, why go all in and get this guy or that guy when it's not really going to change their chances that much? But that, to me, is wrong. That's what I hate about the sport, that it's so analytical. As opposed to just saying, hey, Corbin Burns is available. He would be our another ace right along with Gerrit Cole. Remember, that was before Cole got hurt. So not only would he have been a nice replacement for Cole when he got hurt, or insurance, in case it was more significant with Gerrit Cole, but you would have had, at the best case scenario, Gerrit Cole and Corbin Burns 1-2. Now tell me that you don't think Cole and Burns would give you a better chance going on the postseason right now. I don't care if the Yankees were 500 since June 1st or not. If they had Corbin Burns on this roster, and it was Cole and Burns, how would you feel about their chances in the postseason? Oh, but the percentages say that it's the same. Yeah, I don't care what they say. They're not always right. Fan graphs and the projections and the percentages. Play the percentages all you want. A lot of times they don't mean anything. I want the better team. Cole Burns gives them a better chance to win a World Series. And they didn't do it. And having Hader in the bullpen would have given them a better chance. Would you rather have Hader and Holmes or just Holmes? Would you rather have Burns and Cole or just Cole? I don't care what the percentages say. They would have been a better team, and their odds would have increased, logically speaking. Forget about what the actual math is behind it. But even if it was a little bit better. I mean, that's why they got Jazz and Mark Leiter, right? They made their team better, incrementally better. Their percentage must have gone up a little bit. So then why not make it go up a little bit more, but have more legitimate players? I hate the analytics argument. I know what you're saying, Steve. That's what drives me nuts. You're not wrong, but it drives me nuts. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls on the other side. We'll work in the Mets to the conversation as well off their big win yesterday when we come back.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something doesn't add up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yankees Turning Point of the Game Contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. You'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. We have the starting lineup as well for the Yanks. Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Gleyber Torres, you have leading off yet again. Still, I don't know if I love that from the Yanks. I know they're doing it now, and it's certainly better than Verdugo there, but ultimately I think it's got to be Jazz or Volpe. And again, I can't argue for Volpe right now, but ultimately I think their best lineup going into the postseason, I'd rather have Jazz there. But anyway, Torres leading off. Soto, of course, two-hole. Judge hitting third. Austin Wells behind him. That's been, to me, the big difference maker with the emergence of Austin Wells being an impact bat behind Judge and Soto in that Yankee lineup. Giancarlo Stanton follows Wells. He's hitting fifth, playing DH. He'll be at DH. Verdugo is still back in there, but how do you do? Did we get one of those from BT last night? I'm not sure. We'll have to He did not do it. No, okay. Gives me the thumbs down. You got Volpe behind Verdugo and Oswaldo. See, this is what I wanted to see. The Yankees starting to figure it out. There is no DJ LeMahieu in the lineup. Oswaldo Cabrera is in there playing third base, and Ben Rice batting ninth playing first base. That is their best lineup right now. And enough of LeMahieu. Like, it's over. And with Jazz coming back, that's going to, you know, upgrade there at third base instead of Oswaldo. You know, potentially Dominguez coming up eventually could upgrade over Verdugo. That's really who's been killing him as well. Verdugo, just as we said before, statistically one of the worst players in the league. I'll live with Ben Rice at first base. I think he can give you a quality bat, especially if he's down in the order and you're not relying that much on him. But either way, there you have it, the Yankee lineup. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second. 888-808-1019. But I wanted to give some love to Nestor Cortez. You know that I've been telling you I like Cortez for a while, and last night is exactly why. Like, I get it that he could be very hittable and make hitters comfortable, and a lot of times, you know, you give up a bunch of runs or give up some homers, but he battles. He competes. Last night, against a team that is leading their division and going into the postseason against Cleveland, in a game where the Yankees needed it coming off that bad loss, 12 innings, using every arm in their bullpen, Nestor Cortez gave them exactly what they needed. Seven scoreless, shut them down, only three hits. That's what Nasty Nestor does. That's why I value him. Now, do I want him starting game one of the postseason? No, but I wouldn't have a problem with him starting game two. at home of a postseason. I mean, you want to say game three or four, five. I mean, he's got to be, to me, I would have him in the rotation. I trust him more than I do Carlos Rodon. Rodon's stuff is nasty, but I don't know if he's going to be on or have it. And when he's going south, generally he could implode. Cortez competes. He's a pitcher. He battles. I value that. Now, I'm not moving him into the bullpen. I'm having Nestor Cortez take a start in the postseason. And I think last night helped go, you know, in his direction. Maybe helped go a long way with getting him a postseason start. Now, again, who knows? It's still early to be talking about that stuff. But the fact that he could do that, they needed a stopper. They needed somebody to give them some length last night. And Cortez did that. That's why I love him. Guy's a pitcher. May not have great stuff. May make hitters too comfortable. But he's a pitcher. I value that, competing, especially with that Yankee lineup that maybe, you know, Cortez doesn't have to be lights out because they could give him some wiggle room or get out to a good start, give him a lead, and he'll go out there and protect it. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Frank is in Union Beach. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Sal, what's going on?
Not much, Frank.
Had a discussion with a couple of friends about what you were talking about earlier, that there's no great teams, that they're all flawed. And that all we got to do is get in, have a few couple of weeks, good weeks, and we can win this thing. Well, I'm a lifelong Yankee fan. It's all about the rings. It's not what I'm used to growing up, especially with the Jeter era and before that. You know, like, we win rings. That's what we're about. We're not about getting in and hoping.
Right.
And then just this offense, I'm glad you just discussed that hopefully maybe we can get Dominguez in here, Cabrera, a couple of guys to fill in for the holes in the lineup. We got seven holes in the lineup. We need to fill them in. If we don't, we got no shot. And then this whole
thing, I don't know if I'd say there's seven. I don't know if I'd say there's seven. I think the emergence of Wells helps, and then with Jazz coming back, you know, that lessens the
–
and
right.
Even, like, you could live with Stanton to a certain degree. Verdugo, no.
Right.
And even Volpe, like, Volpe's a guy who – I really believe that Volpe can carry them through a postseason series. If he gets hot at the right time in October, that could
right.
be the difference of them winning a World Series or not.
I meant that right now we have seven holes. If we
yeah.
get Jazz back, if Volpe picks it up, if we can get, you know, Cabrera, you know, Dominguez, all that kind of stuff, we get those guys going, yeah, maybe. And then this all comes down to Cashman. Cashman was supposed to go all in, get Soto, fill in the roster. You said earlier, he never filled in the roster. He never put us to that level. When are we going to get rid of this guy? If we lose this year, we get rid of him?
I doubt that. And thank you for the call, Frank. We appreciate you checking in. See, I fundamentally agree with you that, you know, you're saying the Yankees are all about the rings. And it should be about that. They're held to a higher standard. But specifically where they're at now. Like in 2017, you could accept, okay, they're rebuilding. And of course, in a rebuilding year, they go to Game 7 of the ALCS. But from there, it was always going to be about getting this team, the Baby Bombers, to a World Series and winning a World Series. This next generation of Yankee greats and, you know, maybe having the next Yankee dynasty. It doesn't even have to be a dynasty, but you have to win all World Series to at least get to one. So I understand that logic, and that's why I question the Yankees not going all in enough, whether it is in the offseason, whether it is in season, whether it's years before this, where they didn't go to the extent to be head and shoulders above everybody else going into a season or into a postseason, which doesn't guarantee you anything, but it makes you feel a little bit better about your chances of succeeding in the postseason. And they haven't been able to get back to a World Series, obviously, since 2009. They haven't gone over the top all in, whether it's Corbin Burns, whether it's Josh Hader, whether it's guys at the trade deadline this year. And that's, to me, a negative, where I'd feel better if the Yankees were more dominant. Like, okay, so what? There's no other team in baseball that's on pace for a 100-win season. But that doesn't mean the Yankees shouldn't be. I mean, if I were to tell you coming into the year, and I would think the majority of people felt that, Soto and Judge, if I were to say that they're going to play every single day, they're both going to be playing at an MVP level, Judge is going to be better than he was in his record-breaking year a couple years ago, wouldn't you think the Yankees are going to win 100 games? Wouldn't you think they'd be above 500 from, I don't know, June 1st on? But they're not. So just because everybody else isn't that good is not an excuse to justify why the Yankees didn't try to do more to be that much better. But with all that being the reality, they still could go out there and win a World Series, because in today's day and age, you don't have to be great to win a World Series. Steve is in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? You know, you keep kind of making my arguments for me, but you don't come to the same conclusion that I do. When people say the Yankees should have did more, they should have did more.
let's say they would have did everything that a Yankee fan would dream of. They got Hader, they got Corbin Burns, this, that, the other thing, and spent an extra $100 million doing this. What do you think their playoff chances go up by?
Significantly, though. Yeah, but I'm not looking.
A few percent?
I don't care about the percentages. Why are you getting caught up in the percent? Do you think they'd be a better team or not? Steve, how much did their percentages go up when they got Jazz Chisholm and Mark Leiter?
No, this is the thing. I try to be fair and put myself in the shoes of the owner. If Brian Cashman, everybody wants to fire Brian Cashman. If Brian Cashman was to come to me and say, okay, Hal, or Steve in this case, because I own Yankees, right? Steve, I could get you all these guys. It's going to cost us an extra $120 million a year, and our playoff chances will go from 14% to 17% of winning the World Series. And I'm going to tell him that he's crazy. I'm not doing that.
Right, but that's
and
how
that's
people
baseball,
are.
Yeah. And that's the playoffs today. That's the way the playoffs are set up.
Correct, but that's why I hate it. And thank you for the call, Steve. That's why I hate it. Because you're right. That's why the Mets will sit back there and say, well, you know, our odds are going to be this anyway, whatever the percentages of getting the postseason. So if we add Blackburn and Jesse Winker and, you know, Brazoban, instead of going to get the best reliever or Blake Snell, it's only, what, 2 percentage point different? Maybe not even. I don't know. So then they don't do it. Same thing with Cashman, as you could be saying. Right? Oh, why? Well, why go all in and get this guy or that guy when it's not really going to change their chances that much? But that to me is wrong. That's what I hate about the sport, that it's so analytical. As opposed to just saying, hey, Corbin Burns is available. He would be our another ace right along with Garrett Cole. Remember, that was before Cole got hurt. So not only would he have been a nice replacement for Cole when he got hurt, or insurance, in case it was more significant with Garrett Cole, but you would have had, at the best case scenario, Garrett Cole and Corbin Burns 1-2. Now tell me that you don't think Cole and Burns would give you a better chance going on the postseason right now. I don't care if the Yankees were 500 since June 1st or not. If they had Corbin Burns on this roster, and it was Cole and Burns, how would you feel about their chances in the postseason? Oh, but the percentages say that it's the same. Yeah, well, I don't care what they say. They're not always right. Fan graphs and the projections and the percentages. Play the percentages all you want. A lot of times they don't mean anything. I want the better team. Cole Burns gives them a better chance to win a World Series. And they didn't do it. And having Hader in the bullpen would have given them a better chance. Would you rather have Hader and Holmes or just Holmes? Would you rather have Burns and Cole or just Cole? I don't care what the percentages say. They would have been a better team, and their odds would have increased, logically speaking. Forget about what the actual math is behind it. But even if it was a little bit better. I mean, that's why they got Jazz and Mark Leiter, right? They made their team better, incrementally better. Their percentage must have gone up a little bit. So then why not make it go up a little bit more? But have more legitimate players. I hate the analytics argument. I know what you're saying, Steve. That's what drives me nuts. You're not wrong, but it drives me nuts. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls on the other side. We'll work in the Mets to the conversation as well off their big win yesterday when we come back.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.